glory. It's good to see all of you here. You know, I was just thinking many times I think about the worship team that we have, for Stacy picking out the songs, for Mark helping out, Dan over here, and then we have Chris upstairs, Randy and Logan standing by to be on place. I call that a worship team. But you know what's the greatest? When I'm sitting there and I can't look back and hearing all yous praising the Lord through song. That's exciting. That is a joy and a blessing. Man, I'm already wanting to start crying. I have a habit. People tell me it's a good habit, but I kind of wonder about it. When I really feel the presence of the Lord and the love of God, I start crying. And many times I call them tears of joy, because that's what they are. And God is here, and he's going to move mightily in each one of our lives today. And the songs we sang, oh, how true they were. And I often praise God how God uses Stacy for the songs for the particular Sunday, for the particular message that he wants preached. And I seen it in this message, how you use your lips and how you use your mouth. Because that's what I want to be sharing with you. As we look at it, the title of a message, I don't like putting titles on them. Excuse me with the napkin, Kleenex. My nose has a habit of running every once in a while. I don't have no disease, just a runny nose. Linda always tells me when my nose runs, that means I'm full. So I don't know what I'm full of, but my nose is running. Maybe it's full of joy. But anyway, I want to talk to you this morning. The power of the words you speak. The power of the words we speak. You know, have you ever thought about that? Have you ever given any consideration? And the message is not a message of condemnation. The message is we need to take inventory of what we say and what the Lord says about what we say. And the Lord has given me a message, and he's told me to do something that's hard for a preacher to do. He said, read the scriptures and don't elaborate on them. I'll tell you what, that's hard. I was doing this message yesterday. I was going over and looking at it, and I started saying things about what I was saying, and I had to quit. And today, I'm just going to let the Lord speak to you. I'm going to believe for the Holy Spirit to touch your hearts and speak to you, and not me. So we're going to see a lot of scripture today, okay? So as we look at it, the first thing I want to share with you in this is that we speak about 5,000 commonly used words to communicate a universe of ideas, emotions, events, and desires. And as we look at these words, we find they carry enormous power. Have you ever thought about the power your words speak? You know, the scriptures, as we'll look at, says power in your tongue can bring death or life. And what do we speak? And I'm going to bring up some things that we may be saying and we don't realize we're doing it, and what the scripture says about it, okay? I've got about 10 of them when we get to it. But as we look at this, we have power in our words. A power, and I want you to notice something when I name these three or four off. I want you to notice the negative and the positive to it, okay? But it says that we have the power to heal or wound. We have the power to encourage or discourage. We have the power to speak truth or to deceive. We have the power to praise or to criticize. We have the power to speak life or speak death. That's quite a combination of the responsibility that we have today. And as we look at them, I want you to look at some scripture here. In Matthew 12, verses 34, the last part of it, let's look at what the Bible says about this. And it says, for out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Notice where it's from. It's from your heart. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So we see two things there. Number one, we see where our heart really is. But the question comes, what is our heart? Can any of you tell me where your heart is? According to Strong's Bible Dictionary, it says your heart is your mind, your will, and your emotions. We call that the soul in our body. And so we speak from what we think, what we believe, and so on. And we do what we think and what we believe. So you need to take inventory on that. Where is your heart at? And as you listen to your words that you speak as you go through the day, that'll show you. That's kind of interesting. But James goes on and says, with the tongues we bless our God and Father, and with it we curse men. Wow. Who have been made in the similitude or the likeness of God? Think about that. Oh, out of the same mouth proceed blessings and cursings. My brethren, these things not ought to be. Think about that. But then we find that as I think about the word cursing in Scripture, what does that mean to you and to me? Is it a cuss word? You know how we use profanity? We're going to look at that in a little bit too. But no, cursing is in the Bible often refers to invoking harm, evil upon someone or something. It involves using language that calls for misfortune or expresses intense malice. And you know, as we look at that word malice, malice is a deliberate intention to disharm, whether through action, words, or attitudes. That's quite a bit to say, isn't it, about who we are and where we are and what we speak. But we talked about curses, but let me ask you a question. How do we speak curses? The Scripture says in Proverbs 18 through 22, I want to do 18 through 21 first, that a man's stomach shall be satisfied from the fruit of his mouth, from the produce of his lips he shall be filled. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it shall eat its fruit. So listen to that. What you say, what you speak about others, to others, about yourself, how many times do we speak a curse on ourselves? Oh, I'm so stupid. Boy, I'll never be able to hear. You know, oh, my back hurts so bad all the time. What are we speaking? We're speaking the words of God. But what would happen if we reword that, and I'm going to bring this up some more, what would happen if we would say, oh, I can't see, but God's healing my eyes. My back's hurting, but by his grace, I'm going to be healed. And we give credit to God, to Jesus, for what he does for us and what he did for us at Calvary. You know, we need to think about those things. But then we look at that and we think about it, and then verse 21 is kind of interesting. It says, it is a declaration about marriage, because your marriage will never be better than what proceeds out of your mouth. Wow. You know, I'm going to share a little bit about marriage, and again, I'm not, I don't know y'all, I don't know your marriage that well, what you do at home or what you say, but what I'm saying might be to the extreme, but I want you to get an idea of what we're saying about what God says about marriage. But you know, we look at this verse in 22, and it is a declaration about marriage, and it is a sobering thought that the single most reliable I can't say the word, predictor, in other words, what we're predicting of success or failure in the marriage, it wasn't how much affection a couple displayed. It wasn't how many common interests they had. It wasn't what kind of economic background they come from. But it was the kind of words they spoke to each other. Those of you that are married, think about it. How many words do you speak to each other? What do you say? And we look at this, and we need to stop speaking death to your spouse and start allowing your mouth to line up with what God says about them. You know, it's important to see that. The same issue applies to women. Notice what it says about husband. Start praising your wife as if she's already the woman God you want her to be. Stop telling her, stop tearing her down. How many times do we say negative things to discourage our wife? And stop nitpicking on the little things they do wrong, she does wrong. Stop that stuff. Quit making her the butt of your jokes to friends. You know, these are common things that's done. I don't know if it's done here, but I want you to stop, husband, and think about with your wife, how are you treating her by the words you use? You know, that's simple. But you know, ladies, men's got some things to say too, or the wives do. The same issues applies to women. Wives, stop speaking death to your husband. Stop telling him the things that he does wrong. Find something he does right and praise him. Encourage him. That's the key to all of it. We need to be encouraging each other. And you know, as we look at these things, as we think about them, using marriage is to show the connection, the power of words. But these principles hold true to every relationship with other people. Your words can bring life or death to everyone you know. Have you ever thought about that? How often we are so prone to think negative mostly. I'm getting ahead in my notes and getting mixed up a little bit. I'm doing what God told me not to do. But you know, I've been read that the words we speak, I don't want to use the amount, but is more negative words than it is positive words. I want you to think about that as you go home today when you're talking. Stop and think how many words you speak are negative and how many you speak are positive. I'm going to get into that a little more. But what we need to do, we need to raise the standard of our speaking. We have the Lord of God, the Holy Spirit living in us, who will give us the words. And stop speaking death over your health. How many times is, oh, the doctor said I got a disease and I can't be cured. What does Jesus say? One of the things I can think of often that I use quite a bit, by my stripes you are healed. By what he did on the cross, he took all our diseases. And we need to confess that. What about your finance? Oh, by the way, with your health, you also need to get into the Word and look up for Scripture that talks about healing and start memorizing them and start confessing them. And also Scripture that says who you are. How many of you know who you are in Jesus? As a believer, do you really know who we are? You know, as we think about these things, but what about our finances? Oh, this dumb checkbook, it just never balances. I'm always in trouble. What's the Word say about finances? What does God say about it? We need to look at that. And then what about your marriage and your relationship to others? How do you talk to your friends, your neighbors? What's a relationship? Start allowing your mouth to line up with the Word of God. Your words are either building relationships or tearing them down. I should say, I need to change that to not your words. I need to change it to our words. I'm no better than what you are. God spoke to me a lot about this. But our words can build up or tear down. It's one or the other, because words, more than anything else, connect us to God and to each other. Think about that. And again, this is not a condemning message. It's an inventory message. Let's take a look at where we're at, and let's see where we can do better in the words we speak. Now we're going to get into something. I got some good news at the end, but right now I want us to look at 10 possible symptoms of a sick tongue. What do you do when you get sick? You go to the doctor. He looks at the symptoms you have. Then he says, okay, here's what I'm going to prescribe for you. Okay, right here, I want us to go to the Lord and look at the symptoms of what he says we could have, a possible thing. And there's 10 of them I'm going to try to relate to. But you may only have one. You might have two. You may not have any. That's up between you and the Holy Spirit. But the possible symptoms of a sick tongue, number one, is telling the untruth. In other words, lying, exaggerating. You know, a lot of times pastors get up and they start preaching, and I hear they may say they was in another church preaching, and two souls got saved. And he's up there preaching. He said, yeah, I was at the other church and I preached, and there, at the invitation, there were 20 souls saved. Elaborating, making it look good, making it sound better. It's an untruth. We all know lying is wrong. Yet lying in the most widespread and common of all human activities. That's kind of strong. But what does Proverbs 6:16 through 19 say? It says, these six things the Lord hates. Yes, seven are an abomination to him. By the way, these are all New King James scriptures. A proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that are swift running to evil, a false witness who speaks lies, and one who sows discord among the brethren. You know, that's terrible. But you know what John, I can't read my writing. I had to add this one. What John 8:44 says, in John 8:44, it says, Jesus tells us that the devil is the father of all lies. You know, it's so important to him, he put it in the Ten Commandments, along with another one we're going to look at. But he says, don't lie, tell the truth. And how often do we do that? You know, and we think about it. So that's one of the scriptures that says we find. But the next one is a stirring up division. How many times in the church have you seen division stirred up by somebody? Because they're going to put new carpet down. And one wanted blue and another one wanted red. And they start striving and complaining and getting an argument going and causing division within the church. But as we look at this, what does Proverbs say about stirring up strife or division? A worthless person, a wicked man, walks with a perverse mouth. He winks with his eyes. He shuffles his feet. He points with his fingers. Perversity is in his, here's the word again, perversity is in his heart. He devises and continually he shows discord. And that type of person, if you know him, you need to be prayed for him, because I want you to see what the rest of that verse says. Therefore, his calamity shall come suddenly. His calamity shall come suddenly. Suddenly he shall be broken without remedy. That's kind of a serious statement, you know, and as we think about that. But as we continue going, we look at number three. You know, this is kind of an interesting one. Around the time of the First World War, Morgan Blake, a newspaper for the Atlanta Journal newspaper, wrote, I am more deadly than the screaming shell of a howitzer. Now, in World War I, most of you may know a howitzer was a large gun that when the shell was fired, it killed or wounded many men. So he's saying that he's more deadly than that. I win without killing. I tear down homes, break hearts, and wreck lives. I travel with the wings of the wind. No innocence is strong enough to intimidate me. No purity pure enough to daunt me. I have no regard for truth, no respect for justice, no mercy for the defenseless. My victims are as numerous as the sands of the sea and often as innocent. I never forget and I seldom forgive. My name is Gossip. That's strong. That should wake us up to how we talk about other people or whatever it might be. We're speaking death or life. But then as we look at this, we look at Proverbs 20:19. God says there, he who goes about as a talebearer reveals secrets and stay away from them. You know, I find this interesting. And then the next one, Proverbs 16:28, the last part of it, a whisperer separates the best of friends. I'm sure y'all can know about that. But you know what I find interesting here? The God uses the word talebearer in the New King James. And a whisperer. Is that not true about gossip? I remember when I was a young man, and we'd start talking about somebody, or we got in trouble and went and told mom and dad or told the teacher, whoever it was, what'd we call them? Tattletale, tattletale. You know, it's a talebearer. You know, and we think about these things. So we need to watch what we say to one another. Matter of fact, Paul, I believe it's Paul that says, we need to muzzle our mouth. And Scripture says if you can't say anything good about somebody, don't say anything at all. You know, as we look at this and we think about it, gossip is a destroyer of what I read. It tears up home. It tears up friendships. If somebody comes to gym, if I go to gym and I talk about the pastor, I know I can get away with these two, and I tell Jim how bad the pastor did on the sermon last week or how bad he does something, and that reflects on Jim, that gives Jim a negative attitude towards the pastor. And how much of the time do we do that to friends or it's been done to us? You know, we need to think about the gossip, what it is and what it does. But number four is passing along false information. How many times do we do that? We tell some Proverbs 140 verse 11 says, let not a slanderer be established in the earth. You know, slander, we find, comes close to the same as gossiping. And we look at it and what it says, and you know, this part is scary too about a slander. Look what it says next. Let evil hunt the violent man to overthrow him. You know, it wasn't let grace or let God. It says let evil hunt and find a man. That's not a very good thought for us, and if we do that. But as we keep looking at these, we keep going. The next one, five. What about speaking confidence? You know, so-and-so told me this, but I want to tell you so you know, but I'm just telling you so you'll pray about it, you know. It's none of your business to say that. What does the scripture say about it? In Proverbs 11:13, it says, a talebearer reveals secrets, but he who is of a faithful spirit conceals the matter. Oh, here we go again. You know, it's lying, and it's divulging secrets that was shared with you because of who you were and thought they could be trusted, but then you betrayed. You betray the trust of the individual that told you. But then what about another one? Speaking curses instead of blessings. How much of the time will we do that? Romans 3:13 through 14 says, Their throat is an open tomb. With their tongues they have practiced deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. That's what we're doing when we speak curses upon another person instead of a blessing. We're speaking harm on them. We need not to be doing that. We need to be speaking words of encouragement, words of edification, words of comfort. But no, we don't do that. And as we look at this, the next one is taking the Lord's name in a self-serving way. Here's another one we need to look at. In Acts 27, it says, "You shall not take my name, the Lord your God, in vain, for the Lord will not hold them guiltless who takes the name in vain." Again, another thing we find about God in his sincerity. He put that in the Ten Commandments, so it's double important as we find it in there. And it's like lying. Taking the word's name in vain is an offense so serious that God put it in the Ten Commandments. And as we look at it, we need to learn not to do it. And how can we take the Lord's name in vain? I'm not going to go into it too much, but I just want to say one thing. One way we do it, I don't say we, it not even be said here. I've never heard it said here by any of you. But, you know, one way, we'll go up to this young lady that we like and, you know, we want to get married to. The Lord told me that I'm supposed to marry you, you know, and that turns her off and runs real quick. But when we say the Lord told me to do something, you better make sure it's from the Lord, because if it's not, you're taking it in vain and for your own way of getting ahead and looking good. And then, you know, as we think about there's another one. This one I don't know if any of you do, but it's spewing out sewer speech. Cussing, using negative words, profanity. And you know, as I thought about this, well, let me read the scripture. Ephesians 5:4 says, "Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather we should be being thankful." These things were not to talk about. You know, I can remember back when I was going to a Bible school one time, I was talking to a guy, we was talking about something, and I made the statement, "Yeah, that darn thing just didn't work," something to that effect, and there was a teacher behind me, and she corrected me very sternly and lovingly about using the word "darn," because it is an associated, if I could say the word, it's associated with the word "damn." It's a polite way of not using that word. And you know, we're all guilty in that in some way or another. Some I call it a generic word for the dirty word. You know, we have generic drugs for the right drug. You know. But anyway, we're not to speak sewer. And then in also in Colossians 3:8, it says, "But now yourselves, you are to put off all these anger, wrath, malice," again, we looked at earlier, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Those things God says you're to put off. We need to look at that. What does God want us to do? How does he want us to be? And then it goes on, and then we talk about number 9, habitually speaking strife. In Proverbs 21:9, "Better to dwell in a corner of a housetop than in a woman's chair with a contentious woman." Let me read that again. "Better to dwell in the corner of a housetop than in a house shared with a contentious woman." Now, ladies, don't get a fit, because I got one for men, too. But as we look at this, that word "contentious," what does that mean? You know, as I look at it, I thought about one of them, a boisterous. You know, a boisterous person. Or, I got to look again at my glasses. Or an argumentative spirit. You know, whatever you say, they're going to argue about it. Or do you always have to be right? Do you always have to be right? Do you always have to say the last words? You know, I was thinking about this as I was talking about the message. In many ways, God spoke to me about this message. But one of the interesting things I found was Linda was in this place, and this woman was getting something, and the man was trying to help her out with suggestions of his, innocently. And all you want to do is tell me what to do. Well, it's better to go shopping without you. I can get more done. A contentious woman. You know, but then if we look in Proverbs 26:21, God said, as charcoal is to burning coals, and wood to fire, so is a contentious man to kindle strife. How many times do we have bad words and we bring strife among our loved ones or our friends? And you know, I want to stop here for a minute because I want to go back to marriage. I forgot something. I talked about the man talking to his wife, the wife talking to his man, but there's one I really forgot that I believe is really important. It's how you talk to your children. You know, oh, you're just so dumb. Can't you ever do anything right? And we speak words like that. I can remember when I married and had my kids were little, and I wasn't born again then. And I'd say kill my kids to do something, they'd ask me why, innocently. And you know what my answer was? Because I told you so, that's why. And you know, we're not speak that way with our children. We're supposed to talk to them and explain it to them why they shouldn't do it. And when they're messing up and doing wrong, oh, I hope there's nobody here by the name, young people by the name of Johnny. Anybody Johnny's here? Okay, so then I got in trouble for using names one time. Somebody got offended. But we should say, okay, Johnny, I know you can do better than that. I got more confidence in you, so let's try to do better. Which is the best way to talk to our kids? The words we speak will bless or curse. So we need to look at that. I'm sorry I forgot that, but that to me that was important. And then, I don't even know where I'm at now. Where are we on? 10, okay, thank you. Spreading pessimism. You know, that's a good one. You know what a pessimist is? Someone that really don't believe all of it. You know, and what the scripture say according to Hebrews 3:12-13? Beware, brethren, lest there be any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God, but exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Well, you see that? Don't be saying disagreeing. Two things we find in that verse, right, in them two verses, is a warning against having an evil heart of unbelief. And the other one is the antidote to it is to exhort one another. Again, talking positive to them. And you know, there's many Christians, believers, that believe the word of God, but then when something happens, they say, oh, I don't know. Or even about prayer. This happened to me not too long ago. We was talking about something, praying about somebody, and so on, and prayed for their healing, and so on, and so on. And when it left, someone said, oh, man, if that doesn't change, they're really going to be bad. And I said, yeah, I agreed with them. A heart of unbelief. What did I pray? What did I agree about an hour later? How many times we kill our prayers by our negativity to what we say? You know, so we need to avoid pessimism. And as we've looked at these 10 deadly sins, let's not take them lightly and dismiss them. Don't take it lightly. If God spoke to you through the Holy Spirit on any one of the 10, take it seriously. Don't use just the two scriptures there, but dig into it and find out what else he says. We can't take it lightly. Doing this kind of deep inventory of our words is what we need to do if we're going to experience all the victory, all the joy, and all the blessings of God wants to give to us, for us to enjoy. Our believers should not have an unbelieving heart. We need not to be negative in our thinking. How much of the time do you speak negative words? How much of the times do you talk against your healing, your finances, your marriage, your relationship to a friend? You know, we need to look at these things. But you know, I got some good news for you now. As we looked at those things and we taken them to inventory, let's look at 2 Corinthians 1:20, what it tells us. For all the promises of God in him are yes, and in him, Jesus, amen. To the glory of God through us. You see our responsibility? All the things God tells us, all the promises and everything in there is yes and amen. That's right. You know what amen means? It means that's right. And you know when a preacher's preaching and you start saying amen, you know what that's like? To a good preacher who loves to hear it and really excited. When you say amen, that says, dig him. You know, and he gets more excited and gets on fire for what's being said. So let's respond to the pastor's word. But not only that, I'll tell you something else it does. When you either take notes or make comments like that, it enforces your memory to remember it. Because they say that the average person within 72 hours forgets what they heard or read. So we need to be thinking about that. And you know, as we talk about negativity, I once heard a pastor say, listen to this. Negativity is simply the devil's language spoken by those who have his perspective. Negativity is the devil's language spoken by those who have his perspective. Wow. Wow. God never speaks negatively. He speaks truth. Have you ever found a negative word in the Bible? It's always positive. He speaks truth. Even when he speaks truth, he speaks by faith because he can see what's going to happen. We find an interesting thing about God's language is faith. What does he say in Luke 1:37? Nothing is impossible with God. Do you believe that? I'm sure all of you say yes, but do you believe it to where you can be healed, to where your finances can be better, to where your marriage can be better, to where your relationship to others can be better? All we have to do is speak positive things, speak the word of God. And it was structured, we were saying God does only good things, positive. So if God does all the good things, who's doing the bad things? Satan. And you and I have, those that are believers in God, have authority over him. But as we look at this, this is where some in the faith movement is go wrong. They are told they should never say, I'm sick. You know, and you go around, you can say, I'm sick all day long, and it's not going to do no good. An example of what I've witnessed back in Missouri with some of the Pentecostal people, and I've told the Pentecostal people don't believe this, but back there, you're talking to a guy, I don't have a cough. I'm doing good, you know. I don't have a cough. I'm okay. But what the script, that's what they're taught. But what the truth is I have a problem, but God is helping me overcome it. I'm trusting God. I'm believing God for his promises. So we need to say, yeah, I got a problem, but God is helping me overcome it. Will you pray with me over the problem if you desire someone to pray with you? So as we've looked at these things, you know, we need from the beginning, the believer's life is about faith. Let me say that again. From the beginning, the believer's life is about faith. We begin it by faith, and we live it by faith. And with these closing scriptures, I'd like to say in Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, it says, by grace you've been saved through faith, not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So it begins by faith. Not by your works, not by anything you do, but because you believe what the scripture says Jesus did on Calvary. But then it goes on. What about your life after we get going? In Galatians 2, 20 and 21, I have been crucified with Christ. Oh, I've died. I've crucified the flesh. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness comes through the law, then Christ died in vain. Beloved, think about that. Let's determine as we go our separate ways and we think about this message, and I'm going to pray before we close that the Lord will not let you forget about it. But let's be determined to submit our mouths to God. Let's be determined in these areas of speech in which we have bad habits. Let us become, oh, this is tough. Let us become accountable and correctable with the trust and confidence of God to take care of it. Let us pray. Father, I thank you for the ability to bring forth this word. I thank you for knowing that it won't return unto you void, but you're going to move mightily upon each one of the hearers of this word, Lord. And Father, I pray that you just not let them forget the message. Let them think about the words that are contrary and an abominable unto you, and let them change their ways. Father, not only them, me, but help us to be who you called us to be, and to do what you called us to do. And Father, I thank you for those that are here, and I just pray that you continue blessing them, for you said you would bless us with all spiritual blessings. So Father, as we go our ways, help us to be who you called us to be and do what you've called us to do, and use our mouth, our lips for you, our hands and our feet for you, Lord. Father, I thank you again for each one that was here. And I pray that through the week, your Holy Spirit would keep bringing these things up to where you spoke to them, that they might correct or be accountable unto you, Father. Again, thank you for this privilege of sharing. And for those, I thank you for the heart to receive it, Lord. You just give you all the glory, all the honor. In Jesus' precious name, amen.